When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son to redeem us. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to the Bible Institute of the Air. During this Christmas season, Dr. Ward Anderson of the Bob Jones University Bible Faculty is teaching a special series on Christ as the fulfillment of prophecy. Here with today's study is Dr. Anderson.
We invite you again to take your Bibles with us in our study of the prophecies of the coming of Christ, and in this season of the year especially, it is well for us to be reminded of the truth that Christ came according to the will of God in the right time and to meet the needs of needy men. We've been considering a number of prophecies in the Old Testament forecasting the line and the place where Christ should be found. We know that He's to be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3, verse 15. We know He's to be the great descendant of Abraham, Genesis 12 and verse 3. We know He's to come from Judah, the tribe of Israel, Genesis 49 and verse 10. And from that tribe of Judah, last time we noted that He would be of the family of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7. God promised to David a covenant concerning the throne, that throne would be ruled by his descendants. One after another, they would rule from that throne, and God, as He says to David, would not take His mercy from the seed of David, but that the house and the kingdom of David would be established forever, and His throne established forever. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. I want to read a couple of responses to that promise. In Psalm 89, beginning in verse 24, the psalmist writes this concerning the promise that God made to David. And this promise is fulfilled in Christ, the only one who can rule an everlasting throne and to maintain an eternal kingdom. In Psalm 89 and verse 24, we read concerning God's promise, "My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him." And skipping to verse 34, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven." Also, Psalm 110, verse 1, David writing, he says this, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." The Lord said unto my Lord. David says here that the Lord Jehovah, the God of the covenant, said unto his Lord, his Adonai. David speaks of his Lord as ruling until the enemies are his footstool, and that he would rule in the midst of his enemies. with the rod of his strength going forth from Zion. Our Lord Jesus Christ applied this promise to the Son of David who shall take the throne of that great king. And he asked the question, whose son is the Son of David who shall take the throne of Israel? And the answer, of course, was with this prophecy, the Lord of David is that son. How can the Messiah, he asked, be one and the same, the Son of David and David's Lord? And of course, as we consider these prophecies, we realize that David is the physical father, the ancestor of one who would come, who would be mightier than he, greater in station, and would in fact be his Lord. David is a prophet, and he speaks of things to come. When Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 30, he's preaching to the men of Israel, and he says this concerning David's prophecies. Verse 29, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, that is, Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. David as a prophet sees his greatest descendant to rule over his throne and over his kingdom, and he calls him his Lord. And this is an answer to the great promise that we looked at last time and are looking at today in 2 Samuel chapter 7, so-called the Davidic covenant, a promise that God would bring through the line of David and to rule from the throne of David, the Christ, the Messiah, the answer to all the prophecies concerning the Redeemer come into the world, the one who would take a kingdom and rule it forever, the one whose mercy would be upon the house of David and would never depart from that house until the final ruler came. This prophecy, of course, includes the earthly line of rulers that came from David, because there is a line to be considered in the descent of Christ to the throne. David does not give Christ that throne. It's Christ who gives David the throne. And we refer you back again to Genesis 49 and verse 10, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Shiloh, the one who owns it, the one whose right it is to rule, the one whose scepter it is, shall give that scepter to the house of David from Judah, and would be in that house until he takes it again. This is a very important thing to keep in mind. The seed of David would not be rejected, like Saul was. If they needed chastisement, God said that he would chasten them with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul. There was necessary chastisement concerning the seed of David. There were kings who were evil, and they were afflicted by their own enemies. God could not bless a king who departed from him, and who made flesh his trust. But more than earthly rulers are involved in this prophecy, for the throne is established forever. And David would have finally one descendant who would not need the chastisement of God. He would not sin. He would be the answer in fulfillment of all the prophecies we've noted. He would come to the throne of David, perfect, and rule the house of Judah forever. I'd like to refer at this time to the great promise in Isaiah, in chapter 9 and verse 6, concerning the Christ, the one who was to come of this lineage. The prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This great prophecy from Isaiah speaks of the one who is the child born, the one also who is the son given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase and peace of that government there would be no end. And this would be a government of the house of David, from the throne that David gave to his descendants. This is the great coming one, the one who is an answer to all these promises of Scripture, the child who was born of Mary, born miraculously, born without sin, who lived sinlessly, who died, therefore, for the sin of others. He, the sinless one, was the only one who could take our sin upon him. And he is the Son who is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This one is going to be king over the house of David and over all Judah and Israel forever. I wonder, as you listen to me today, if he is king in your life. Does he rule there? Is the scepter of your heart his scepter? Is it a righteous scepter? For he will not rule in unrighteousness. His name, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Our Father, we thank thee for the truths which we see in thy word. We pray that our lives may be governed by the Prince of Peace, as we lean upon his staff and as we allow his rule over our hearts. Bless with understanding our hearts this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Dr. Ward Anderson, a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University, has been our teacher on today's broadcast. Listen Monday through Friday for the Bible Institute of the Air, produced by Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.